Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic, now that I've finally got Bree to join me for the podcast that we have together, that we film weekly. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what you missed. We film it weekly. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that part. I probably didn't tell you. Yeah. So, yeah, this week's episode, 17 weeks in the making, is about anxiety. So, yeah.
So here we are.
You make me anxious. That's the beginning and the end of this podcast.
I am the source of your anxiety.
This past week, legitimately you were.
I know. Yeah. I felt that. Yeah. Well, I think you even told me that. You're like, you're making me so anxious right now.
Yeah.
You're like, do you hate me? Do you not want to do the podcast anymore?
Right, I forgot I had that struggle too.
Yeah, you had like a lot of struggles. I was really just like inducing the...
Well, because there's the thing that I constantly have this fear that you're... I mean, we can get into this, but this is part of my anxiety just because I have...
Yeah.
what's it called? Prescribed? No, that's not the one. When a doctor tells you something. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. Diagnosed.
Diagnosed, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I do have doctor-diagnosed generalized anxiety and medication for her. Yeah. I have this anxiety that I just get this thought that comes over me that you don't actually want to do the podcast sometimes.
Yeah.
That you're just, like, doing it to, like, keep me entertained and you, like...
It's like a little play toy for you.
Yeah, and you, like, you feel bad for me.
You know what? The terrible thing about anxiety, like, I'm laughing, I shouldn't laugh, is because... These things, and anyone who suffers from anxiety can relate, feel so real when you're feeling them. You're like, this must be the case.
Yeah.
But when you tell me that, it's so laughable because it's so far from the truth.
Yeah, and when I say it back, I'm like, wow, this is really stupid. But in the moment, especially when it's like 3 weeks of us not recording, and then if I like send, even though I'm usually the one that doesn't respond to you, I send a text message. There's no response in 15 minutes. I'm like, she's literally she's cutting me out. She's changed her number. She's probably moved. I know her address. She probably got out of here. She got the fuck out of Dodge.
I'm like, instead of just telling Sean that I don't want to do the podcast anymore, I'll just never speak to him again.
I'll just secretly sell my apartment, change my number. You're like, shave my head, change my face.
You know, you have to do things sometimes to avoid any sort of communication.
Absolutely.
No, I absolutely want to be doing the podcast. It was just the comedy of errors the last few weeks. Even we had people in our DMs over on Instagram being like, oh, like, is there something going on? And then I even made a joke about it.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
Okay. So I trolled the listeners a little bit. This is a good time for me to quickly plug that we do have an Instagram account at I Can Explain Podcast. Also, you can follow us personally at Brian Williamson and at Sean.Lusk. And before we get into the social media fun, I want to say a huge shout out to our patrons. All of you are so amazing. Thank you for your generous support. And a special shout out to Aiden, Emily, Gina, Kate, Olivia, Liz, and Serena. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting our podcast. If you want to become a patron, you can click the link in the Instagram bio at I Can Explain Podcast. And there's a Discord that we chat on, bonus episodes, all sorts of fun stuff. So thank you. But yes, on Instagram, I trolled our listeners a little bit. Sean was like, oh, we should post on Instagram at least, which is, to be fair, because we hadn't dropped a fucking episode in weeks due to my chaos. And like, let people know what's up, like, why we're not posting, because we're getting all these DMs, people being like, where the fuck are all the episodes?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, yeah, that's fair. We got to tell people what's going on. So I pull up it's just me constantly just doubling down on your anxiety. Like, I'm already contributing to it, and then I was like, why don't I just make this an absolute nightmare for Sean?
Well, because I also get this, I'll build on that anxiety. Yeah. I also get this anxiety that, like, people don't really like our podcast that much. Like, they're just looking for, no, I'm dead serious, I get this all the time. I get anxiety that people, like, don't like us that much. Like, they're like, oh, I like this podcast, but any slight inconvenience, they're gonna get out of here.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, already having anxiety that you want to quit the podcast, and then you're like pranking our lovely listeners, and I'm like this is gonna be the end. I was like, there's gonna be mass unfollow.
So what I did is I did a post, and it was literally like, this is the end of I Can Explain podcast. You can go check it out on the Instagram. You can read the whole caption. And then I was like, haha, just kidding. We're going to be back. There's literally no reason there hasn't been episodes besides the fact that I am an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
And very that. Literally, I texted Sean. I was just waiting for your response. I was like, okay, I posted it. In my head, I was like, he's going to kill me. He's gonna kill me. But I thought it was so funny.
I know you did. I also feel like I had the moment of like, oh my God, this is her announcing that the podcast is over. And this is how she's gonna tell me. Like, I was part of the troll.
Yeah. On it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I posted, you should go read it.
Yeah,
I
you think should it's really,
really
just
important
take it to
that
heart.
You read yeah. it. And then I'll never talk to you.
So yeah. I'm sorry about causing so much anxiety in your life in Thank general you. But also in particular over the
this
last
past
few weeks.
Week yes
yeah, it's been bad.
You will be getting my doctor's bill
absolutely that's fair
for
that's
the
only
15
fair.
Emergency sessions I had.
And then just to like add to it, finally Sean and I were gonna record on Wednesday a few days ago, and I've just had this conversation with him about like being like, no, I want to record the podcast. I don't want to not record the podcast. Like, trust me. Like, this is just a weird series of events that it hasn't worked out to record the podcast. And he's like, okay, you know, like, just checking, whatever. So we've calmed the anxiety. And I go to start my car, and my fucking battery's dead. And literally, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my God, Sean's not going to believe this. He's going to think this is another fucking excuse. So I immediately call Sean. I'm like, oh my God, my battery's dead. Like, I can't drive to your house. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me?
I think I literally just said, see you on the weekend. Like, I was like, I'm done. Like, I am done. I'm done with this bitch.
So then there was a little fun series over on our Instagram story of me going and jumping my car, which was partially because I thought it would be a funny thing to share, but also because I really need to give Sean the evidence that I wasn't just ditching and, like, making an excuse. Like, my
yeah.
dog ate my homework.
Because I feel like people hear my attitude mm-hmm. and humor towards you.
Yes.
And probably assume that I'm the difficult one to work with.
No, I'm the nightmare.
And they couldn't be more wrong.
Yeah, I'm an absolute nightmare. Yeah. I'm really good. You know what? I think a big part of it is I was, if we're going to talk about, like, self-awareness, there's probably a reason I wasn't very good at team sports growing up.
Right.
Like, I was always, like, I dance. It was, like, I'm relying on myself. I can do well. Anything I do in my life, I prefer to, like, do it on my own. I'm a bit of a control freak. And part of that is because I like the way that I do things because I'm a control freak. But another part of it is because I'm fucking chaotic. So yeah. when people are like, oh, hey, do you want to plan to do this in 3 weeks? I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 3 weeks. What's my name going to be in 3 weeks? Yeah. Am I still going to be living in this fucking country? Like, am I going to, like, have deleted all of my social media because I don't feel like doing this anymore? Literally, who knows? The world's my oyster. I'm so chaotic. So then it causes me anxiety by, like, making promises and then things go the other way. And then I feel like people are going to hate me for bailing. So I'm like, if I just do everything myself.
Right. Maybe you should have pitched that to me before we started.
I'm like, hey, do you want to do a podcast? It's going to be a nightmare.
It's
going to
be the worst thing ever done for your mental health.
Yeah, for your mental health. When we are actually sitting in the closet, might enjoy yourself, but everything else is going to be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. I feel like when you're outside of the closet, I'm like bull taming you.
Yes,
like
you're,
you know, I have a lasso around you and you're running around, but then I finally, like, you're sleepy in the closet.
Yeah, once I get in the closet, I am laser focused, but it's everything else. It's hurting a cat getting me in here.
Truly.
Yeah, and it's not because I don't love it. I'm just like, I've always been like that. I honestly think, speaking of, I don't know if this is even like a trigger warning thing, but I also think we should say at the beginning of this, like, I'm going to say certain things about my mental health that are not diagnosed, and I'm self-diagnosing. So I don't think that I'm a doctor or that I actually know things about things. What I was going to say is I genuinely think I have undiagnosed ADHD.
Right.
I genuinely do. Like, I literally, like, and I'm not, like, saying that as like, a gag, like, making a joke, like, oh, do I have ADHD? Because I think that's wrong. Like, I genuinely think I do. It's so hard for me to focus on one thing.
No, I feel that, too. I've literally not ever been formally diagnosed, and I don't think if I had anything. Well, okay. I have a story about this as well.
Okay.
Also, this is probably a trigger warning. We're talking about anxiety, and we're probably going to talk about things that are anxiety-inducing.
True, yeah.
So if you think that us talking about anxiety is going to give you anxiety...
Get the hell out of here.
Maybe get the fuck out of here. So my story about that is I've had three therapists think that I have some form of OCD.
Okay.
ADD.
Okay.
Probably not hyperactive. I don't think I am hyperactive. Mm-hmm. And I would have... Not issues, that sounds bad. My boyfriend would get frustrated at mm-hmm. me because... When something was in my mind, I would have to get it out. And he'd be like, oh my God, you're like talking over me, blah, 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 mm-hmm. which I was. So part of that I've worked on and not mm-hmm. on this podcast though. I've done the opposite.
Well, I mean, if you want to get a word in edgewise, you got to exactly. talk over me. Yeah,
stuff you down. and then eventually he realized because sometimes I would be like, oh, sorry, I'll let you go. And then he would talk and then he'd be like, what are you going to say? And I'd be like, oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like it just, if I don't get something out of my mind, it's completely gone.
Yeah.
So we had that and now he finally is like, oh, that's just like what you are. You're just like a squirrel. Like you just like, and I could be talking about like ADD in a way that's not actually
accurate,
properly accurate. I don't want to say I'm an expert.
Disclaimer.
Yeah. Listen, I'm trying to do my due diligence.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm just ridding you of the anxiety of getting it right.
Yeah, so anyways, I've had three therapists say that they assume that I have some form of, like, mild attention mm-hmm. deficit. And then one of my therapists was asking if I wanted to, like, try to medicate it.
Right.
And then she was like, oh, yeah, but for people that don't have ADD, if you medicate it, once again, I'm probably getting this exactly wrong.
No, I think
wrong.
This is correct.
But there's like some sort... Yeah, it's like... It's like some sort of like stimulant also when you have ADD that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like similar effects on some people like if you do cocaine.
Yes, yeah.
And my therapist literally was like, yeah, maybe... Have you ever done cocaine? And I literally was like... I was like, yes. I have.
She's like, okay, you know what you're ready for.
And then she goes, okay... And when you did cocaine, what were you like? Were you super talkative?
Oh, interesting.
Or
this
were you very focused? Right. And I was like, somewhere in the middle. Like, I kind of got, like, laser focused on things, but I was also very social. And she was like, and just, like, started writing it down. And
okay,
I'm like,
when therapists start writing things down, I'm like, bitch, turn the notebook around. What are you writing over there?
She just wrote jail and circled it because of the coke. She was just...
the cops are on
just
their
baiting
way.
Me. So yeah, anyways, that's my story.
Yeah, honestly, I'm sure the listeners are probably like, yes,
yeah, you
judging by listening to this fucking podcast when you guys can't stay on anything at any point, clearly there's something going on. But yeah, what I was saying with that is, like, even in group projects growing up or like in university,
bad news,
I would literally do the whole project.
Yeah, you like, are, you do that, have that energy.
I literally would be like, okay, we'd have the first team meeting and people would be like, oh, I can meet two Thursdays from now and I can do this. And what about between 6:30 and 7:15 this day, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, how about this? I will just do it all.
Yeah.
And then I will inform you all when it's done and you can review, like, obviously in more words, but basically, like, I have a problem. Clearly. I have a lot of problems. Clearly. So, I... now that we've established that.
As you were aggressively, like, pushing your eyebrows into your
See,
head.
See, this is part of the reason why we cannot videotape this, because I think that people don't understand that as I'm sitting here talking to you, half the time I'm looking in your eyes, and half the time I'm darting around the freaking closet, or, like, literally covering my eyes and speaking.
Like, actually.
And closing my eyes to try and focus on thoughts and speaking English, which is my first language, and I don't know it.
Which people would be shocked if I know.
Absolutely. I'm like, Sean just has to stare at me, like, literally, like, what am I doing right now? Like, just...
Playing with
I need one
Venus.
Of those fucking stress balls.
Yeah.
That's what I need. Yeah. Anyways, I'm a very anxious person, okay?
I've gathered.
And yesterday, I literally opened a backpack that I hadn't used in ages. And there's, like, this random little pocket on the top, and I was going to put my AirPods in there. And I opened it, and in there was, what's it called? Lorazepam? Lorazepam?
Pam? Like the spray?
I think it's called Lorazepam. I don't know the actual, like, scientific name. Anxiety medication.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay? That specifically I had gotten because when I fly...
Oh.
I...
Need to be sedated.
Like, there's no way I'm getting on a plane unless I can feel absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I literally pull out this bottle that I haven't seen in 3 years because I haven't got on a plane in years for obvious reasons. And I literally was so excited to find these drugs that I was like, maybe I should go speak to somebody. Like, I opened it up and I was like, yes! Like, I've never, like, it was,
my
like,
flight medication.
No, it was, like, finding, like, a $100 bill. Like, I was so excited to find anxiety meds when I have no flights planned. Just for, like, the daily, I was like, oh, my God, I didn't know I had these. This is a jackpot.
Jesus Christ.
That I was like, I need to call somebody. Yeah, like, maybe. this is a problem. But instead, I'm just going to talk to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not a registered therapist.
No, but, you know. This is good for me. Okay. This is good.
It'll do.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, before people, like, start getting afraid for me, I've dealt with anxiety my whole life. I've been on and, like, off medication. And, you know, for me, certain things work. Meds were not for me.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, it's an interesting dynamic with the two of us, as it is with a lot of different topics.
Yeah.
That things work for certain people and they don't work for other people. And, like, you've talked openly about being on medication for anxiety and depression. I did try that out when I was a lot younger and I absolutely hated it. And maybe it was the type of medication, maybe it was the time of my life, who knows. But I think that it's both something you should not be ashamed of, and it's also something that, like, you've got to find what works for you.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, for me with anxiety, sometimes it's enough to use the tools that therapy has taught me to, like, help calm my anxiety. Something that works really well for me is they call it, like, the big three or something like that, or just my fucking therapist did, that it's, like, friends, family, work. So, like, a lot of my anxiety is, like, everyone hates me or everything's going wrong, right? So if I write down on a piece of paper, friends, family, work, and I write underneath it what's going wrong.
Which one of those people at those places hates you the most.
Exactly, yeah. And then once I figure that out, then I just cry.
Then you fight those three. You fight the big three.
No, because what often happens is when you write it down, or at least for me, you realize there's actually not anything really going wrong. Yeah. So it just gives, like, a easy way of being like, okay, family, like, is anyone actually mad at me, my family? Am I having any issues? Like, no. Or maybe, like, oh, yeah, I got in an argument with my sister. Okay. What's that about? Is it that big? Are we going to think about it in a week? And you just kind of, like, break it down more, like, reasonably.
Yeah.
Right? Opposed to a lot of times it can just, when it's swimming in my head, feel, like, so, like, unattainable in the sense of, like, I genuinely cannot differentiate if there's something, like, really bad happening or not. Because it just, I'm always on 100.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm stressed about anything or a personal relationship or anything like that, I'm like, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. So it's so helpful for me to break it down. And, like, that works a lot of the time. Going for a walk works a lot of the time. Taking a bath. Like, there's things that work for me without being on medication. But then there's certain times in my life that I'm like, this has got a little out of control. I need to go talk to a therapist. Or maybe I should consider being on meds or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just... It's, for me, it's like ebbs and flows.
That's the fun part of it.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, because giving myself a bath, having a bath, mm-hmm. What a weird way to phrase that. Giving myself a bath gives me anxiety.
Oh, does it?
Being that hot stresses me out. Like, dead ass.
You're like, I'm cooking in this,
like,
bit.
Actually, though. And, like, I start to get, like, panicky.
Oh, shit.
Because I always run hot. So if I'm hotter, I just... And when I have, like, a panic attack or I get, like, a... Mm-hmm. Have, like, a big anxiety attack, yeah. I get very hot.
Right.
So, like, you won't fucking ever catch me dead in, like, a sauna or a steam room.
Oh, not, panic. Not, get out. You,
literally disgusting.
Yeah.
Like...
See, I love
I
that.
Feel suffocated. Like, even in clothing sometimes, right. If I'm wearing, like, too much, like long sleeves and okay, I start to get panicky,
yeah.
I feel like I'm in jail. That's why I never wear watches, either.
Interesting.
Yeah, because...
See, I can't wear clothes while I'm sleeping because I start panicking. I feel like I'm getting strangled.
I cannot sleep unless I'm just wearing underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, people that wear fucking socks to bed, jail. Jail time God, immediately.
Yeah, that's...
Like, 25 to life. I don't care. Get these psychos off our streets.
Justice to the highest degree possible.
It's the worst. Like, it's so crazy to me because I will wake up in the middle of the night at, like, 39 degrees Celsius.
Okay, have you tried this? Because I love doing this, where you get the cold cloth and you wring it out and you sleep with it on top of you.
No.
Oh my God. This is okay, this is gonna actually change your life. This
sounds horrific as
no,
well.
No, this is gonna change your life. I'm serious.
I don't like being wet though.
No, it's just okay. you gotta give it a try because it's seriously gonna change your life. It sounds like it's gonna be like not nice, but it's really nice. So you get a cloth, okay? Like I prefer using like a dish towel because it's big enough, like rectangular.
Okay.
Okay? No, like you don't want like a little tiny like face cloth, right? You want like a kind of towel, but not like a bath towel that's like thick. The thin works better.
I got a dish towel.
Okay? I'm very particular with this. I'm a connoisseur of this. Okay. Okay? And so you put it in cold water, you wring it out really good so it's like not dripping. Like it's just like damp. Okay?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And you lay with it on your body. Oh, it's like a euphoric experience.
No, see, this is already, like, I don't like that.
No, you have to try it.
I'll try it, but it already is making me uncomfortable.
No, it's the best, because you just lay there naked, and you just have it, like, laid on top of you, and the coolness of it pulls the heat from your, oh, it's so nice.
See, I'd rather just sit, like, pussy out in front of a fan.
Well, I already have the fucking fan going, and then you add to it with the cool cloth, it's, like, really
anything, like,
special.
Wet in a bed doesn't do it for me. You know, no piss play, nothing of the sort.
No cool cloth, no pissing on each other.
It is wild though as an adult, and uh-huh. I think this is definitely something that I learned through therapy over the years, to see that you, like, it's obviously the nature versus nurture conversation, but to see how early I can recognize my own anxiety.
Yes.
Like, I think back to how, like, afraid of authority I was.
Yes.
And how every single time people were like, he's so well-mannered. And it was in my brain because I was like, if I'm not incredibly well-mannered, they're going to hate me. I'm never going to be invited again. They're going to tell my parents. Mm-hmm. My parents are going to make me live in, like, the attic, like one of those, like, Cinderella stepsisters. I guess, no, the stepsisters live well. I'm going to be Cinderella.
Yeah, you are Cinderella. Yeah. Aww.
Yeah, no, and, like, I was like, fucking six, and these are thoughts that would go
totally
through my mind.
That was like me too. Like I remember being horrified, like when I was, like you said, like 6 years old, 8 years old, if I was like with friends and they like did something quote unquote wrong, like at the time I thought it was a huge deal, but like, you know, they drew on something they weren't supposed to draw on, or they like put a toy in a place they weren't supposed to put it, or like, oh, whatever.
Okay.
Then I would literally be like horrified. It would be like secondhand embarrassment, but secondhand shame. Like I would be so stressed that I thought I was going to be like part of that.
Yeah.
Or that the authority figure, the teacher, the parent or whatever, was going to think that I was a bad kid. It would stress me the fuck out. I'll never forget this one time. I was in grade 8, so I was maybe 12. And me and like three of my friends went to this random elementary school because it was like 6 p.m. or something at night and on like a weekend, and we were just hanging out and we were like, oh, you know, as you do, what do you do when you're 12? We were like, oh, let's go and like just do whatever at the school, sit on the swings.
Classic.
Yeah. And so we're there and all of a sudden they realize that the door to the elementary school is open. Okay. And so they're like, oh, let's go in, let's take pictures. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you just think that that's like the fun thing to do.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, we're going to go in the hallway and we're going to take pictures in the, like, I think they were going to take pictures in the boys' bathroom or something like that. Like, the urinal. Like, they thought it was fucking hysterical, right? I literally, like, I was a dweeb. I was like, I'm going to sit outside.
Oh, this is me.
I would not step foot. And they were like, no one's here. Like, who cares? We're just going to run in and take some pictures. I was like, no, I will sit outside this door and
like all stand
I'll, like,
watch.
Yeah, like I probably made something up like that. And in my mind, I was like, I will not step a fucking foot.
No. Hey, Gabers, today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in-app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
In the school, because, and looking back, it's like, nothing serious was happening. So a janitor or something was probably in there cleaning or whatever, and they left the door crack open. It's not like they were like vandalizing or stealing anything or like doing anything like that. And literally, I just was like, I know we're not supposed to go in there. It's after hours. We're not students at this school. And I know someone's going to get mad or like yell at them, and I cannot be there for it.
No, like, I could not be literally, like, that.
And that is an example of, like, everything in my life.
For sure.
In my, like, younger years. Like, I was just always horrified of being in trouble.
Yeah. I will say this year has been really fun for anxiety. Especially...
Oh, fuck.
One, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. As an adult, mm-hmm. even highly medicated.
Yeah.
One of my probably most prominent things that gives me incredible anxiety to the point that if... And this is... I don't know how to trigger warning this. But if people talking about death...
Yeah.
Freaks you out, stop listening. Because if you have, like, death anxiety, this is going to trigger it for you.
This year, you've just been triggered the whole fucking time.
Like, actually, though, because I have, like, pretty decent health anxiety. Yeah. Always have. And, like, in a global pandemic, not great.
Yeah.
Not great to have.
Yeah.
But my anxiety about, like, dying in space, those two things. If I think about dying or space when I'm trying to go to bed, I literally have to sit up, turn on all the lights, and, like, literally watch, like, Real Housewives for an hour.
I just literally felt woozy just thinking about it.
No, for sure.
That moment when you're in bed and you can't stop thinking about it, you're like, what happens afterwards?
I literally...
Like, one day I'm gonna have to do that.
Oh, my God. I sit up.
I can't talk about it.
No, I know. I sit up, and I've verbalized, like... out loud, I've fully been like, no.
No, same. Yeah. Like, so, I have full pan. Like, I'm getting, I'm triggered right now.
Yeah, sorry. That was a good one. So this year's been really, really fun for health anxiety.
Yeah.
But, so as an adult, my anxiety was, like, pretty under control.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a ton of stomach issues.
Yeah.
Which, sorry, this is a very convoluted story, but it'll make sense eventually. Yeah. I was having a ton of stomach issues.
Okay.
And a lot of it was, spoiler alert, because I, dairy made me shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
that wasn't anxiety related.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was because my anxiety was so bad that it was literally manifesting it in, like, just uncontrollable gas.
Yes, I feel that.
Like, actually, and I don't think people understand how much anxiety fucks your body.
Oh,
like, if you're constantly in a fight mode, your body is just getting ruined.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I didn't understand that, and I went to the hospital because I was having such bad stomach issues, and a lot of it was anxiety related.
Yeah, so crazy.
So that was terrible. Then I finally started getting this under control.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the entire time, death anxiety is still there. And then so it was mostly under control, and I thankfully, up until this point, had never attach driving to death anxiety.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Good work on my part. Until
I got
in, like, two massive car accidents.
Yeah.
And then I started for a good while
thinking
every single time I set foot in a car, me driving or anybody else driving, I was gonna die.
Oh,
because
my God.
It took something that I didn't have anxiety about, like something that I felt safe doing because I hadn't experienced it, and made me realize that everything happens so quickly that I really don't have any control.
Right.
Yeah, so I got in a car accident that was my fault. Oops, hee hee.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, oh, it was because I didn't shoulder check. So after that, I was like, I didn't shoulder check. That was my bad. Yes. I completely drove into this other car. Oops, once again.
So in a way, it's still under your control.
I was like, yeah. I completely did that. Mm. I was like, I was listening to that Nicki Minaj, David Guetta song. Mm. I was out of control. Yeah. I was being a barb. Yeah, absolutely. I was out of control barb.
Yeah.
So after that, I was like, I'm going to make sure that I go back to the basics of driving. Like, I was like, right. I'm shoulder checking every fucking 30 seconds. Full stop, not a rolling stop in sight. Speed limit, not even getting close to it.
Yeah.
50 under the speed limit.
Parked.
I'm like, I'm going 3 kilometers an hour everywhere. So I spent like a month literally like driving, like sitting fully, like checking all my mirrors, doing like the full most, full doing the most. And then I literally was driving through a green light and somebody turned in front of me and I T-boned them going like 65. Oh, and I was like, wow, I can do every single thing in my power. Every single thing in my power. I can attach all of this focus and energy into being like the best driver I can be. And it literally doesn't matter. And then that really boosted my anxiety for a good like probably 2 years. And the next time I got in a car, I was in a Car2Go. I don't know if I've told the story. No. I had like a smart car Car2Go. Okay. And I, because my car was totaled.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in a smart car, which is like what we have in Vancouver. You can like, I mean, it's rent gone already. Yeah. You can rent smart cars and drive them around and park them wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a smart car and I was driving to work. And the final four-way stop before my work, I stopped at the stop sign and was going and somebody ran the stop sign coming the other way and I literally pulled over on the side of the road and aggressively bawled for probably 20 minutes.
Oh my god, that's awful.
So I think I'm like you, that I have a lot of anxiety about things that I can't control.
Same.
And when the universe shows its hand being like, I own you, you literally like, can't control anything. That really set me off.
And,
sorry,
okay,
I just probably
this,
triggered the show.
When I say I am triggered.
Yeah, no,
honey.
I know.
But I knew that's what we were getting into. You don't have to apologize for triggering me because I like I knew we were going to sit down and talk about anxiety.
Yeah.
But because I have anxiety, I'm going to be triggered.
But then we can talk about things that will help with our anxiety.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Okay. Where are those drugs that I found in my fucking backpack? What happens when you die?
Bree is now selling them to me.
I'm pushing lorazepam or whatever the fuck it's called. I also... Never mind. I'm not going to talk about
how
drug use. That's a boundary I've decided today. I'm not going to talk about...
Yeah, I mean, maybe I probably shouldn't legally have divulged that, but who knows?
Oh, no, I think it's fine, because we said that we're not doctors and stuff, but I was going to talk
about,
I
meant the cocaine.
Oh, the cocaine! Oh, yeah, no, that's fine, too. Whatever.
In all fairness, that was years ago. I was a fucking nightmare when I was, like, 19, though.
I mean, like, yeah, don't do drugs, blah, 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 drugs.
You haven't had a blah blah in so well. I guess we haven't recorded this podcast in so long. But don't do drugs, blah blah.
Every once in a while, I have to give a blah blah of what I know I'm supposed to say, but I'm also like eye roll because, like, yeah, don't do drugs. Like, you could die.
Oh my god, especially like, now. I literally dead ass haven't done drugs in so long, and it is so scary.
A huge fentanyl issue.
Be fucking safe out there, kids. Like, literally, it's so horrifying.
Test your drugs before using them, and also you probably just shouldn't. Use drugs, but But well, you know, teach their own.
Teach blah blah.
Blah blah. You know how it is. Blah blah.
That's how you actually deal with your anxiety.
Yeah.
You're blah, like, I'm gonna die. Blah blah.
My therapist is like, please stop doing.
Please stop doing that. You're completely neglecting the point here.
I'm like, yeah.
Blah, yeah. Blah, the blah. Point. Blah blah.
Oh my god, I need help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, something that's really actually been nice for me, we just talked about how this last couple of years has been freaking awful for anxiety, but something that's actually been really nice for me and my social anxiety is mask wearing.
Oh,
yes. I feel so safe in a mask, and obviously the health things are important too, but, like, I don't even mean safe in a health sense. I mean, like, a large portion, which I've realized as I've grown up, I never really understood, like, where my social anxiety came from.
Right.
Because I'm, like, I'm a very outgoing person. I consider myself an extrovert. And, like, I love hanging out with my friends. And I think the pandemic actually made me realize that my anxiety wasn't coming from, like, close interpersonal connections with, like, friends.
Yeah.
Because any time that we did, like, our Zoom hangouts or when we were allowed, when we started to be allowed to doing, like, six-person hangouts, like, I would never have hangover anxiety the next day. I'd never, like, be stressed about what I talked about or, like, how that night went. Like, we had the Halloween thing. There was, like, only six people over. The next day I was, like, awesome. I was, like, why has this changed? And I realized, like, almost all of my social anxiety comes from passing, like, surface-level conversations. Because I feel like I am confident in my ability to connect with people on a deep level.
Yeah.
And, like, if I'm sitting down and talking to people or, like, in a group of friends that I know, like, love me and know, like, the layers of me and everything like that, I'm totally fine in social interactions. But when it comes to small talk, it can spiral me.
Yeah.
Like, to the point of, like, full panic attack. To the point that, like, I've had it happen before where I've run into someone in a grocery store and then walking home, I cry.
Yeah.
Because it's so bad for me. And it, in that person's mind, like, they probably don't even remember what I said. Like, it was a 30-second passing conversation.
Yeah. But
I will break down that 30 seconds in my mind
for the next
literally a million times about how they probably thought I was rude, how they probably thought that I didn't, like, ask enough. Did I cut the conversation too short? A big one for me is because I talk a lot, because I get panicked and I get anxious. Did I talk over them? Did I talk too long? They probably think I'm annoying. Like, they probably wanted to leave the conversation earlier than I allowed them to.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a fucking nightmare, honestly. So I realized, like, not seeing anyone besides close friends and family during the pandemic, I wasn't experiencing that anymore.
Yeah.
Because when I go to, like, a bar or a club, there's a lot of, like, old friends, friends of friends that you run into. And for a lot of people, it's just a quick 1 to 2 minute nice to say hello, catch up, and then they go on with their night. I will think about that the rest of the night.
Yeah.
The next day.
Your brain's like, well, we got the script for the next 10 years.
Oh, literally. Like, fuck my life. Like, I will get so fucking anxious with it. And the masks have been so helpful for me because I will literally be like, I feel like I'm in, like, a cocoon. And at the grocery store, even if I, like, see someone out of the corner of my eye that I kind of know, I somehow feel, like, kind of, like, hidden. Like, I have some fucking, like, invisibility cloak. And I can be, like, I'll just pretend I didn't see them. And I'll just, like, leave without saying hello.
Yeah.
Not because it's actually a shame. Because not because I wouldn't want to say hello to that person. I just know that the repercussions, if it goes even slightly awry in my mind, is stress for the next fucking week.
Yeah.
And so it's not worth it. And I know when we were at Pride, Sean saw firsthand my spiraling, because a really awesome, cool thing about being on the internet is I get to meet a lot of really cool people, and I get to interact with a lot of cool people. And people that follow me, obviously, because I share a lot about my life, they know a lot about me personally. Like, if you listen to this podcast, like,
you know that
I'm fucking annoying.
Yeah.
No, you know a lot of, more about me, honestly, than a lot of even my friends do.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Because I don't, like, we've talked about on this podcast before, I don't sit for 130 plus hours and talk about every layer and how I feel on different topics and my experiences of being queer with every friend that I have. A lot of friends are more just, like, surface level friends, and I think that's totally okay. I think it's important to have friends of different layers in your life. But people that follow me on the internet know really intimate details about me. And also, I think with that, probably craft, or this might be my anxiety talking, but craft certain expectations about me or how I might be when they interact with me.
Yeah.
And again, that's probably my anxiety talking. I'm not saying that people truthfully have, like, high expectations and I don't meet them, but that's, like, the first thing that goes to my mind. I'm like, these people clearly enjoy my content. Maybe they enjoy certain parts of me. So when I run into people at Pride events, or out, or on the street, or gay clubs, whatever, and they're like, hey, how's it going? Like, I follow you on XYZ, or I like your podcast, or I watch your YouTube channel. The first thing that goes in my mind is like, oh my God, like, am I going to be able to deliver what this person might think of me?
Yeah.
And it, like, it's, again, a shame, because I'm really excited to say hello to this person,
And that's where the anxiety comes from. It's like, I want this to go well. Because, like, and it's funny, because the irony of it is, a lot of times people will be like, oh my gosh, I was so nervous to come up and say hi. And I'm like, if you had any idea how fucking nervous I am.
You're like, that's funny and weird.
Like, literally, like, they think that they're nervous that I'm, like, some cool cucumber that's like, oh yeah, hey, what's up? It's like, no, I'm fucking anxiety ridden.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, do they think I'm a loser? Do they think I'm annoying? Did I talk to them enough? Did I not talk to them?
Like, the good thing is, like, I think people know how much of a, like, psycho loser you are.
Because that's true.
It's not like your content makes you seem cool. It's not like your content makes you seem like,
I'm not crafting myself to be
relaxed, well spoken. Like, none of those things are introduced.
That's actually true. That's actually true.
You're always like, no makeup selfie. Like, they know what you fucking look like.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, that actually might, next time I'm going to try and remember that in my mind. Because it is true, because there's like, yeah, there's parts of its personality, there's parts of its physical, but it's like, it's not like I'm someone who's like highly editing photos.
No.
Or like crafting my life to be like some perfect, like, cool person.
No.
I'm chaotic online. So, like, what do they expect?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes me actually feel better. But yeah, so anyways, like, the first night of Pride, you have to understand, this was like the first event, and we hadn't been out in so fucking long that it was so much at once that I had a great time, but I also, like, there was a moment there, like, there was, like, maybe an half an hour to an hour worth of time that I actually had to, like, step aside and, like, breathe.
Yeah.
Because I, and I think I said to you, I know I said to Dana, I was like, I am, like, not okay right now. Like, I'm having, like, I'm gonna have an anxiety attack if I don't, like, just take a minute right now. And it was a lot of things. I mean, it's the first time I'm being in a big crowd in a long time. It's the first time seeing friends that I haven't seen in years. It's Pride, so there's all these, like, emotions about that. And, you know, there's the music going, and there's the lights, and there's the everything. And then it's, like, I think, like, and again, this is going to sound fucking annoying. Like, I didn't want to talk about this because I don't want to sound like, oh, people are recognizing me. But I think it's important for the topic.
Yeah.
I think, like, 20 different people throughout the night came up and said, like, whatever. I follow you, whatever. Can I get a picture? Whatever. I like your podcast. Whatever. Blah, blah. And I was like, this is so fucking awesome and cool because the extroverted part of me is like, oh, my God, I get to connect with people in real life. This is awesome. It's hardly ever that this gets taken off of a screen and becomes real life. It's one of my favorite things that happens. And that's why I always say on my social media platforms, like, never feel weird coming up to me. Like, I literally think it's so fucking cool that what I do allows me to meet all these different people from different walks of life. Genuinely, any emotion I have about it has nothing to do with people coming up to me or me thinking anything about them. It's genuinely, like, me being so concerned that I'm coming off
like a weirdo.
Like a weirdo.
Yeah.
Or that I, you know, didn't talk enough. Like, I remember that night in particular, the thing that really set me off is this one person came up to me and was talking to me. And then as I was talking to them, a friend that didn't know I was talking to this person for the first time was like, hey, Bree, nice to talk to you. So then I was like, talking to them, and the person was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just let you go, and, like, walked away.
Right.
And in my mind, I was like, oh my God, do they think I didn't want to talk to them anymore? And I thought about that for, like, an hour. Yeah. I almost had an anxiety attack over it.
Yeah.
So it can be a lot, these, like, small interactions, right? And I'm not saying this to make it, like, a, like, oh, poor me, or, like, oh, I don't want people to say hi. It couldn't be more opposite from the truth. I think I'm saying it in a way that, like, we're all human beings, so if in these moments, if anyone ever feels like they're being weird saying hello, it's like, I think it's easy to see people online and think that they're, like, in some different thresholds than you. It's like, we're all human, and we're all, like, to some degree thinking the same way about ourselves.
Literally.
Like, it's so, and that's something that actually my therapist has told me before, and it's helped me with anxiety, is that while you're thinking these moments, like, did I sound cool? Did I talk too much? Whatever, they're thinking their own moments.
Yeah.
Like, we are all, as human beings, like, so egocentric that our lives are centered around ourselves. Like, we're the main character of our own lives, right?
I don't know if I am.
Okay, well, that's something else to talk about. That I think we forget that while we're stressing so much about ourselves,
yeah,
we are forgetting that other people are stressing about themselves too.
Yeah. Like, we can just shit ourselves together.
Yeah, we can just all be like, yeah, we're all concerned with how we're coming off, but like,
are you panicking? I'm panicking.
Yeah, my God, we're both in this together. A good example of that, like a tangible one, this might be helpful for listeners that might be listening to this episode because they also suffer from anxiety and are looking for, you know, tips and tricks I've picked up along the way, is a tangible example of that, which helped me, is you always, like, you don't remember what so-and-so wore 3 weeks ago when you saw them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I think back to that pride, like, besides, like, maybe I, like, really like someone's shoes or, like, a certain jacket stood out to me. Yeah. I couldn't be like, this is what Dana was wearing.
Or what about my handmade
this
pants,
is what...
Spray? Did you...
okay, oh, I did like
I'm
this.
Sorry,
those
did we forget
out.
About
those
something that I was
out.
Wearing? Wow. Okay.
But, you know what I mean? I would be like, oh, this is what Corey wore that day. This is what Dana wore that day. This is
yeah.
whatever. But as human beings, we're also concerned, oh, we can't wear that again because everyone's already seen me in that outfit.
Right.
Well, 90% of the people... unless they particularly pointed something out about your outfit or really liked something or whatever, don't fucking remember
yeah.
what jeans you wore
Very
3
true.
Weeks ago. In the same way that they don't remember things about your interaction that you think are so stand out, really, in their mind, they have no fucking idea what you said.
Yeah.
So when you think about it that way, it's a little less stress-inducing. But I also can empathize because it's easy to say, but I will also panic about...
Yeah, that's my favorite thing, is there are things that... work for my anxiety.
Yeah.
Like meditating, guided mm-hmm. meditation specifically. Like yeah. I'm not out there like fucking just like doing yoga poses in the sun and like at like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Now I need to be like guided through it. Mm-hmm. Things like that have been like really helpful for me.
Yeah.
Exercise, running has been very good for anxiety. Mm-hmm. Literally, if somebody is listening and they are prone to like especially like a panic attack or like anything that comes on like suddenly,
yeah.
I would highly recommend guided meditation.
Right.
I think it's like very good at taking me out of situations
yes.
and then bringing you back in mm-hmm. in like a pace you can process.
Yeah.
Which was very big for me.
Totally.
But yeah, I'm great at being like, these things work.
Yeah.
And I talk with my therapist and I'm like, you're so right.
Mm-hmm.
I should think about 5 things I can smell, 3 things
yeah.
I can touch, 1 thing I can taste, whatever the whole
yeah.
fucking thing they always do is.
yeah.
But in the moment, bitch,
oh.
couldn't think of anything.
I can't taste
I
a thing.
I am screaming, not a taste bud,
yeah.
don't even have eyes. Like, in the moment, especially if there's another person,
mm-hmm.
I, like, can't start the things that bring my anxiety down.
Me neither.
I, like, need to be alone.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's why, like, literally, I'm, like, I'm that weirdo that literally I was, like, I'm gonna go sit at the end of this picnic table in a corner of this party, and I need no one to talk to
yeah.
me for 20 minutes. Because the problem is, when I get anxious like that, I spiral. So then if someone's talking to me, I'm still, like, masking. Like, I'm still, like, trying to be okay, and
yeah.
I can't really concentrate on trying to figure my shit out.
Yeah. And then I used to, especially when I was younger and I didn't have, like, a great picture of anxiety,
mm-hmm.
Especially when I was out, if I was getting really anxious when
yeah.
I was out, I would drink a lot.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And then I would get anxiety about if I was being weird while drunk.
Yeah.
And the only reason I got drunk is because I was just regular person
yeah.
anxiety. And now it was, like, drunk anxiety. So that was really fun.
It's a fun
so
spiral,
if you
for sure.
Are having anxiety out, don't try to drown it with alcohol. Because it'll just turn into something else.
Yeah, and it'll just be worse the
yeah.
next day, that's for sure. Well, I'm sure these people really found this helpful.
Everybody's panicking right now.
Now that we've triggered you all and given you no reasonable advice.
Literally.
No, I think it's always good to know people are going through what you're going through.
Yeah.
I think the goal of this episode was that, because it's helpful for me to know that I'm not alone in it. Because it can feel very, like, lonely. Like, oh my God, I'm literally crazy. Something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
All these things. And it's, like, it's just the human experience. And I think also, as you get older and you're more self-aware, it gets worse. Which I hate to say that, but it, like, I remember when I was younger, there was a certain veil of carelessness. And as I've gotten older, I feel it more. Like, I feel it for longer terms.
Oh, mine's the opposite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, maybe because you're on medication. Maybe you're on meds.
I got on those meds, honey.
Okay. Well, on that note, I'm going to be calling my therapist. We appreciate you all. Thank you to the patrons. Again, you can find us on Instagram @ICanExplainPodcast. Click the link in the bio for merch and the Patreon. And you can also find us personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson on both Instagram and TikTok. And, anything else you want to say?
The send-off would be good.
Okay, yeah. Until next time, we will see you around the neighborhood.
Unless Brie ghosts me and changes her address and shaves her head and gets very drastic plastic surgery.
And when I see you around the neighborhood, I will be having a panic attack.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, no, the neighborhood's full of, like, gas, for sure.